Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi, welcome to Rachel Uncensored, the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. Hi, I'm Rachel, and I'm the host. I'm also sick today. Y'all, I got a cold. I haven't been sick in a long time. I'm also fiddling with the mic right now. I can't figure out where I want this to... Pause! Wow, I couldn't make it even a full minute. My mic stand was all kerfluffled and it was stressing me out, and I can't continue unless I'm just relaxed and everything's set up perfectly. Okay, as I was saying, I caught a cold. I haven't been sick in a very, very long time, but I think I'm managing it well. I refuse to be sick, which doesn't mean I'm ignoring it. I am slightly ignoring. I'm still doing the things I need to do, but I got 9 hours of sleep last night. I've been chugging my water. I've been chugging Emergency. I took all my vitamins. I'm drinking tea. I'm eating soup. I'm relaxing. I put off a couple meetings I had today so that I could lay on the couch and watch Thumbelina with my girlfriend. I regret nothing. And I feel like I'm starting to feel a little bit better, which is crazy because I think today is the day before the worst day. I noticed I was sick last night. You know how there's always, if you're paying attention, the warning signs that's like, yo, you're about to be sick. There's nothing you can do to stop it, but get everything you need to get done now. Done, because you're going to be down for the count tomorrow. Well, that, you know, you usually have like a 24-hour notice, okay? But if you pay attention, you might get a 48-hour notice. And I paid attention, and I read the notice. It was faint. It was out there in the distance, but I saw it, and I said, fuck you. Thanks for letting me know. So last night, I was able to get on top of it, and today is my warning day of like, you're just going to like, fuck, I'm getting sick. And then tomorrow's going to be full blown. I refuse to have a full blown tomorrow. I want it to just be like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm still sick, but not really. I'm determined. I'm manifesting it. This is the only energy I'm outputting today. I did my Snapchats and I posted my vlog, but recording this is going to be the only energy I exude from my body today. So you're welcome. I didn't even work out. Motherfucker. I didn't even lift my weights today. And God damn it is leg day. That's how you know I'm determined. You know why I'm so determined? Because on the last episode, Joy and I asked each other, what would you do if you had a week off? And I told her, which was just a week of projects. And she looked at me and said, bitch, just do it. And I was like, fuck, you're right. So I am determined. I'm passionate. So I'm cussing a lot. I apologize. But this is Rachel Uncensored. Cussing's allowed here. But I'm determined to have a week off. I like the end of April, beginning of May. Hoopty-doopty. Where I just do projects, but I vlog and TikTok it. But I don't have to worry about main channel or podcasts. So, because usually those take up most of my week. Those take 3 to 4 days of my week. And then I'm exhausted. Which is valid, because we're supposed to really only have 4-day work weeks, people. Like, let's be real. So, I don't want to pause my work. Which means I'm going to force myself to be healthy. I'm going to force this cold out of my body. And I think because I saw the 48-hour notice, it won't be as rough because I didn't exude more energy than I should have yesterday. And I started taking care of myself last night. We'll see, though. We'll see. And I'm not going to stop working. God damn it, I'm going to get my work done. Who texted me? I'm getting distracted. Oh, it's my girlfriend. Oh, no, she's working and something just went wrong at work. Hold on, I have to text her back. Okay, here I am. I'm going to take off my watch. I won't get distracted again. Yes, I will. It's bound to happen. It's bound to happen. Anyway, I was reading through comments, and while some people like the fact myth-busting podcast, some people said there was one comment that I had to give them credit. There were two, and they said as nicely as they could and as constructively as they could, they would not listen to another episode of myth-busting. Okay, mind-blowing facts was not for them. And I had to laugh because they were like, I do not mean this. And any personal attack towards you, this is just not my jam. And I was like, I feel that. This podcast, there is no rhyme or reason. This is not a murder podcast. This isn't a finance podcast. This isn't a celebrity interview podcast. This is just me, whatever I want to do, spitting it into the mic once a week, okay? And there is one structure to this. Well, there's two. One structure is I do whatever the fuck I want and I say whatever I want. But two, every other week, I have a guest. I think Abigail has agreed to be the next guest. Get ready for that. But as I was saying, I was doing Am I the Assholes a lot. And then there were some people that are like, if I have to listen to another one of those, I'm going to die, which was dramatic to me. But then the myth-busting ones, I did two in a row. I think what I can't do is the same thing twice in a row. Did that make sense? Two solo episodes can't be the same thing because people get tired of you. They're bored. They'll handle one. They can handle one and be like, fine, I'll put up with this. But if I do it two times in a row, they're out. And I really appreciate, I've been on the internet for many years. Follow this train of thought. I'm explaining it. I realize as I talk that other things need to be explained. I've been on the internet for 12 years. And I feel as though I've set a standard of, I don't respond well to bullying. You can't pressure me into anything. Peer pressure doesn't exist with me to the extent that it exists to other people. There's always going to be some. Like, I'm going to follow some fashion guidelines here and there. But I'm also here to please other people. So I want to know what you like and what you don't like. And I feel as I have created a platform in which people can give me constructive criticism. It's my favorite when people are like, I used to be famous for blocking people. I just blocked people left and right. And I didn't care. Like, oh, what are you going to block me? How dare you? And I'm like, it's my platform. I decide if you can watch this or not. Why would I let someone on my platform that's just talking shit? I'm sorry. I don't have time for that. I have no desire for that. Like, why would I let you be a part of this? And so my favorite thing is YouTube, you can say hide user. So they still watch my shit. I still get paid and they still think they're commenting, but it's hidden. The people that are like, oh my God, she's just blocking everyone. She's just hiding on the shit. Damn right I am. What the fuck gives you the right? What makes you think you can come to my channel and just say whatever you want without repercussions? Not a chance. So I used to be, I just don't think people talk about it anymore, but I used to block people. I think it was more apparent back in the day. Social media has done so much to like hide user instead of block user. Instagram and YouTube both do that. But now people know if you're an ass to me, I'm just going to block you and not listen to you. But I fully believe in constructive criticism and people tell me what they want out of my channel because I'm here to entertain you, right? So my favorite comments, that was a whirlwind to say, my favorite comments are the ones that are like, I don't mean this in any offense and not, they're not saying no offense, but no, they're like, I truly want to say this as nice as I possibly can. I'm obsessed with you and your channel, but I'd appreciate it if, and it's like, you fix the audio. You didn't say as much. So the camera's really shaky and it's giving me epilepsy. Like those things, I'm like, bet. Thank you. Some things I can control, some things I can't, some things I don't care about, some things I do. Or they're like, I love your solo podcast, but I'd also love it if you had this person on your podcast. Those things. I like a good sandwich, right? That's what they use in the business world. It's a sandwich. You compliment a negative, a compliment. Sandwich it. And constructive. Also, do you think I'll actually care? But a few people said they didn't want another myth-busting one, which is fine. I'll lay low on that for a minute, right? I am here to entertain you. But I'm going to do something other people didn't like because I don't know what else to do, which is Am I the Asshole? Guys, we need to come up with more things for me to entertain you with when I'm doing solo. When I'm with other people, I can spitball all day. We can chit-chat. We can hoop-dee-daw. We can just shoot the shit, right? But when it's just me, I don't have anyone to bounce things off of. So I need something to do. I need something to read. So we need to decide what I should do during solo episodes. That's not, I thought the myth busting thing was fun, but someone was like, I had to click off because I had already known all of these facts or known all of these myths, and so it wasn't entertaining to me. That person is a smart person, one. But I'm needing something more. What should we do? I'm reading Am I the Assholes today because I don't have anything else. But let's let this be an open dialogue. What should we do with our time here today? Because again, I guess I started this with no structure. We can create one. If we could have a, we could have a gag. We could have a moment. We could have a thing we do together. We should figure it out. I should, but that I'm out of creativity. Again, I've been doing this for 12 years. The creativity is just dried up. It's gone. I need that week off to do projects. I need it. I need it. All right. But with that being said, let's actually read some Am I the Assholes. All right. I didn't pick any out. We're just going in blind. We're raw dogging it today. Oh, should we check to see if we have a sponsor before we begin? I feel like that's a good idea. All right, let's check. Also, I'm going to go get Blaze. He walked outside right when I started filming, and I need my dog of the day. So I'm going to go get him. Let's read some sponsors, and then we'll get into this. Ready? Sponsor, sponsor! Skims. Skims is our sponsor for today. I know that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've had problems with it, whether it's the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist and you can find it at Skims. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. I've been wearing Skims for almost a year now and I just now tried another one of their t-shirts and I cannot stress this enough. It is the softest t-shirt I have ever owned. Or touched. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I love wearing my boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx that I got from Skims. I grab it every time I want to wear something casual, but also I can dress it up for a night out and I absolutely love it. So if you want to, and you should, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes XXS to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Home Chef. Home Chef is our sponsor for today. I personally always love to talk about what we should have for dinner. But then, like most people, that question turns daunting. And inevitably, we always end up ordering takeout because we take so long to figure out what we want to eat that by the time we figure it out, it's too late to start cooking. And even when you order food, it never is super satisfying. And it wastes so much money. So if you'd rather have a home-cooked meal without the dread of the what should we have for dinner question and planning ahead and going grocery shopping, then Home Chef is the perfect answer for you because they make it easy and they save you money. They do this while still having fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes delivered right to your doorstep. It couldn't get easier than that. And they have multiple options, whether you prefer a classic meal kit with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, or speedy, really quick recipes for less than 30 minutes. There are oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients or microwavable meals that assemble in minutes, which is usually my go-to. They have you and your whole family covered. And if you're like me and have a particular dietary need, don't worry. They have 30 options a week that serve different dietary needs. So you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And for a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus a free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/Rachel. That's homechef.com/Rachel for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/Rachel. You must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert, but that's for life. And we're back. Blaze is here. He's about to jump on the couch. And let's start reading some Am I the Assholes? Dum, dum, dum. I'm really good at making my own sound effects. Here it is. Am I an asshole for telling my son to pay back the money he spent on his online girlfriend? I'm going to say no. If he used your money, you have the right to say give it back. Let's see. Let's read. We need more context. I, a 45-year-old male, have a son, a 16-year-old male, that loves to play video games. I purchased him a PlayStation 5 for his birthday last year, and he plays online with friends. He's been telling me that he's been chatting online with a girlfriend, 15 female, so 1 year younger than his son, and they have slowly started dating. Cute online romance. Let's get it. I love it. They don't talk over the microphone as hers broke, and he has no idea what she looks like. Oh, okay. I told him to be careful on what he sends her and not to give her any personal information. Yeah, that's valid. You know, you really do need to just verify that you're talking to who you think you're talking to. That's not a lot to ask. The fact that he doesn't have any of her socials and they're dating, like, you have to at least have an Instagram handle, a Snapchat, a WhatsApp. Give me something. Give me something to let me know who you is, okay? I told him that I would pay the charges and that he would have to... Wait. I skipped ahead. My apologies. My son has his own credit card with a limit on it, and I told him not to go over the limit and only use it for emergencies. Okay, great. I got the credit card bill this month, and there were charges repeatedly for the game he plays in charges of $50 to $100. I was furious, as he gets gift cards for the games for his birthdays and Christmases. Yet, and also, you told him that was for emergencies only. I don't think there's a video game emergency, y'all. I don't think that's a thing. I approached him with the bill and asked him what the charges were. He told me that his girlfriend wanted new stuff for the game and would break up with him if he didn't purchase them. It sounds like this is not the girl he should be dating. This doesn't sound like a pleasant person to me. I think they should break up. And that's just my personal and professional opinion as a human being. I told him that I would pay the charges and that he would have to pay me back the money. I told him that there were many jobs that would hire him. He got angry with me that he wouldn't have time to work as he plays sports and school. I told him that if he was able to balance working and school, he would have no problem doing it. What? I told him if I was able to balance working and school, then he'd have no problem with it. I took his credit card away. That, yes, should not have given it to him if he is this irresponsible. He's not speaking to me now, only if it's in regards to being picked up or needing a ride to see his friends. He's mad that I'm making him pay the money back and get a job. Am I the asshole for telling my son to pay back the money he spent on his online girlfriend? Not a goddamn chance. You said, here's a credit card for emergencies. And I think that's a solid parenting move. You know, like, my parents gave me a cell phone for emergencies. This was back before everyone had a cell phone, right? And I had a texting limit. And they said, you can text 50 people. This is what it was back in the day. I had 50 texts a month that I could send outside of my family plan or outside Verizon or something like that. And if I went over those 50 texts, I was responsible for paying my parents back. I was even 12 years old. This meant birthday money, Christmas money, selling candy on the sidewalk. You know, sketchy stuff. Not recycling cans, which isn't sketchy. That's a valid form of money right there. But, and I knew this. So when I went over and texted more than that, who was I texting? No one knows. I had to pay my parents back because that was the rule set. Oh, there was one time I did because I was texting a boy. Strachel, coming at you. I was texting a boy and I texted him and I owed my parents $200. And guess what? I paid my parents back that $200. This is pretty much the same thing. And if you're dating someone and they won't let you see them or talk to them, and then also are like, if you don't buy me things, I'm going to break up with you, I don't think that you're actually dating that person. I don't think so. Now, let's see if shockingly people do not agree with me. Your son is being 100% scammed here. There is no girlfriend and you desperately need to step in and stop the situation. So this situation is what parents warned millennials about. This is what the boomers warned millennials about as the internet started developing, right? And so like we're kind of in tune to it now as that we're older. So I guess, and we didn't like put that on our kids as much, not that I have any, but because we're like, we weren't that dumb. No one's that dumb. And apparently people are that dumb now because it wasn't like shoved down their throat all the time not to trust them scammers, right? Everyone's saying, yeah, your son's dating a full grown man. He needs to pay the money back. He's getting catfished. Some people were like, not necessarily getting catfished. It could be a girl, but she is being evil by saying, I'm going to break up with you if you don't charge your credit card for my things. Someone said, romance scammer, not the asshole. You really need to go farther, but not in punishing. What you need to do is teach them about romance scammers. And since you didn't, I'm assuming you yourself don't know all that much about them. This is exactly what they do, get people to buy gift cards, etc. Yeah, this is a whole not the asshole. Someone says, that's true. Someone's saying, like, I'm concerned for you, that you're not more concerned about the catfished thing, and you're not confident in your decision about this. Listen, he's trying, okay? I don't have kids, and it's easy to sit back and judge other people, which is what I'm currently doing right now. But I try not to go too hard into stuff like that. Like him being confident in his decision, he might just be that guy that second guesses everything. He's trying. He's trying. He did the right thing. Now he's just needs a little validation on if it's right. And that's okay. That's why I have a therapist. I'd usually 9 out of 10 times, I'd say 9.5 out of 10 times, do the right thing. But just in case it's that 0.5 time, I got to ask my therapist. I got to. All right. Enough of that. I think we can all agree on that. All right. Let's read this. Am I the asshole for, quote unquote, cheating my coworker out of a free meal, end quote? Before I even begin, if you say the word cheating, I'm going to think you're the asshole. Like, just straight out the title, you're an asshole if you're cheating someone out of something or cheating on someone. The word cheating is not a positive one. So if you have to use that to define your actions, I don't think your actions are valid. But I digress. We need to know the details. There's three sides to every story, am I right? Here we go. I, a 28-year-old male, ooh, the brain has fully developed at this point, ladies and gentlemen, work with this woman, Lydia, a 24-year-old female. There's an age difference. There's different sexes. What's going to happen? We got different genders happening. Ooh, a story's a-building. Who has this very annoying habit? Sorry, I got too excited about the age and genders. Lydia has got some very annoying habits, all right? She has a dating profile that she uses specifically to lure guys to buying her expensive dinners at restaurants she wants to try and then ghosts them. Lydia brags about this all the time. Lydia doesn't seem like a good person. Lydia brags about it all the time and is never interested in actually dating, but she acts like it to sell it. Oh, Lydia. I mean, I'm all for the, like, work what your mama gave ya. You know, you do you, get that coin, get that bread. Literally, she's just getting bread out of this. But I don't like when people deceive people. That's not my favorite thing to do. It's one thing if she really sees potential or, like, really wants to date these guys, gets a free meal and is like, didn't work out. And then, like, that's just her jam and she just doesn't brag about it. But the fact that she is doing this, that's mean. And I mean, maybe some of the guys deserve it, but maybe they don't. I don't know these gentlemen. I'm just saying, I don't like when people deceive people and then she's bragging about it. That's what really gets me. If you were just like, she seems to always be dating just to get free meals, I'd be like, hey, you don't know her struggles. Maybe she is, but it's like, she doesn't have a dime to her name and girl needs to eat. It's the bragging that's getting me. That's not my favorite. Okay. I can't stand this because she's playing with people's hearts. I think you are too concerned about it. I think you don't need to get involved. This isn't your place. And the more you're mad about it, the more I think you have a crush on Lydia. I'm not saying I approve or what am I saying? What's the word? I'm not something with her actions. Validating? That's not the right word. I'm not agreeing. That's the word. I'm not agreeing with her actions. But I'm saying you maybe don't need to get involved. Anyway, I can't stand this because she's playing with people's hearts, but Lydia thinks of it as a life hack to try food and drinks she otherwise couldn't afford. Yeah. My friend Daniel, 32 male, is also on dating sites, but for the right reasons. His late wife died a few years ago, and he's just jumped back into dating scene. Daniel's a very sweet guy, and I really want him to find a great lady for himself. Love this. Okay. A few days ago, he texted me asking if I knew Lydia. They matched and got to talking about work, which is how we found out we work in the same place. I told him all about Lydia's BS with the restaurant thing and made it very clear to him he would best to drop things with her early on. Daniel said he'll probably still do the date, but ask for separate checks. Oh, shit. I mean, that's fair, you know? Also, I'm having a sneaking suspicion that Lydia is fine as hell. Because if a guy hears that and still wants to try, girl's got things going for her. And then at this point, that's on him. If he knows, this is like the sugar baby, sugar daddy thing. Sugar daddies know that the girl is dating him for the money and buys her things so that she'll hang out with them or do more. Consenting adults. That's my thing. I don't care what y'all do as long as everyone is a consenting adult. They went out this past week, and on Monday, Lydia came into work very upset. I asked her how her date with Daniel went, and she ripped into me asking if I was the one who told him not to pay for her dinner. Apparently, she had Daniel take her to a high-end steakhouse, and she ended up splurging. She got a drink, a full entree with a salad and dessert, where Daniel just ordered a sandwich and salad. Her bill alone came to 70-something, and she almost in tears at work as she didn't expect to pay it, and now her car was low on gas. I also have a thing. Whoever asks the person out, I think it's not mandatory, but is implied that they will pay. But I truly believe that that doesn't mean you should splurge. Like, you should go crazy ordering all the things. Like, there was that TikTok where that girl ordered a bunch of, what was it, lobster or crab or something, and the guy was like, I'm not paying for that. And she, like, flipped out on him. There's no agreement. Like, if you go and spend a bunch of money, the date is not obligated to pay for it. So she can't get mad. She has to be like, this is the game she plays. She has to be okay with the fact that, like, she might have to pay the bill every once in a while. And that just happens. Or she should go and asking. And, like, that's just kind of what it is. I got a little upset, too, as she tried to use my friend as literal meal ticket, but somehow she doesn't see it that way. Daniel told me later the date was going kind of well until he asked for separate checks, and then Lydia just got weirdly cold. So now Lydia's mad at me because I told someone about her little tactic and it backfired on her. I don't feel like I did anything wrong since it was a grieving friend I was protecting, but some other people we work with said I should have stayed out of it because it was none of my business. I would say normally stay out of it, but it was a friend. And you didn't say like, well, you did say end things with her, but he still dated her. So it's not like she got swindled out of a date. I think he should have gone in being like, hey, I heard you do this. I would still like to go on a date with you. But are you cool if we like split the check or whatever? I just feel like she should have known this was eventually going to happen. It was your friend, so I'm going to give you a pass on getting involved. Because I would, if I heard about some dude and one of my girlfriends was like wanting to go date him, I'd be like, hey, just so you know, I've heard about this. That's protecting your homie, right? I think she's not a good person. Yeah, I mean, I don't know her whole life, but I think not that she's not a good person. I think she's wrong in this scenario. Top response, not the asshole. Her luck finally ran out. I question why Daniel still went ahead with the date after you clued him in, unless it was to show her up. In which case, fair play. It's my kind of petty. Then the OP said he did because it's been a while since he's dated and he wants to get more comfortable with dating again after his wife died. I tried to talk him out of it altogether, but he said a first date would be good with him, for him regardless. Yeah, that's totally fine. Like, he went in being like, this doesn't have to go amazingly, which is fine. That's his right. Maybe he was like, maybe that's gonna work out. And maybe even then he's like, okay, if I don't pay for her meal and she wants to see me again, then I know she's real. So that's actually a pretty valid way to figure out if someone's actually into you. Someone said, not the asshole. She did this to herself. You didn't quote unquote cheat her out of anything. Her shameful ruse didn't work. If she can't afford her food, then she shouldn't go to the restaurant. You did what was right and protected your friend from a scammer. The people saying you did wrong are people with opinions not worthy of caring about. Some people are saying he shouldn't have gotten involved. Someone said, not the asshole. This is a con known as lonely heart scam or romance scam. Oh, we just learned about a romance scam. You pretend to be romantically interested in someone, suck up as many gifts as you can, and then ghost them. They often target widows slash widowers because they're emotionally vulnerable. Lydia will deny it up and down because she doesn't see herself that way, but she's literally a con artist taking advantage of people. It's called a foodie call. Instead of a booty call, it's a foodie call. That was funny. That was funny. Not the asshole. To be honest, I'm surprised it doesn't happen to her more often. As a guy, if I were talking to someone about a dinner and saw them splurge at expensive parts of the menu, I'd call for a separate bill at the end of the evening just to gauge the reaction. It would tell you an awful lot about your date. And there's a lot of people being like, well, they should know if they're taking her to an expensive place, she's going to eat expensive food. Eh, I don't know. Someone said, not the asshole. Dates are supposed to be two people wanting to get to know each other, and both parties should have capabilities to pay for their own meal unless the other person insists on covering the entire bill. The fact that Lydia was mad at you after the date completely validates your decision to warn Daniel about it. Change your perspective and think about this instead. You help Daniel save some money, and you help Lydia realize that there are consequences to her actions. Yeah, that's just like what it is. When I go out on dates with Abby, if I'm paying, I get whatever the fuck I want. And if I know she's paying, I might go a little cheaper. But, and she does the same with me. And when we're at expensive things and I'm paying, she'll like, that's too expensive. I'm like, no, get it. And I encourage her to get the expensive thing if I want to like spend that day. That's just how dates go. She can be a sugar baby all day, but you got to go find a sugar daddy that knows the drill, that knows what's up. You can get free food, get your free things, use what your mama gave you, but with a consenting adult. That's what I think. Go get go get a rich boyfriend. That's fine. Do that. Like him maybe a little bit. That's just what I think. All right. If you disagree, you're more than welcome to talk to me about it. I'm pro-woman. But I'm not pro scamming people that much. I don't like when people are deceitful and stuff. Oh, this title. Am I the asshole for telling my brother that he shouldn't bring his wife to our dad's funeral? Dum dum dum. Throwaway and on phone. Okay, so this person just like doesn't care. Let's see. My brother has been married to his wife for 4 years. His wife, I will call her Sarah, is on the spectrum. Sarah doesn't have much of a filter. If she thinks of something, she'll say it. Oh my God, I'm scared of her. She's gonna tell me I'm ugly. But also, I respect her so much. This hasn't been causing issues until last year. If she said something that was inappropriate slash rude, someone would correct her, usually my brother, and she would apologize. There have been a few uncomfortable situations, but we usually just get an apology and everyone moves on. Okay, great. Sometimes people just need to be told. And then that's fine. Easy peasy. The main problem started when Dad started going downhill. He has had many health issues before, but really went down last summer. My mom is the main caretaker of him during this time. Sarah, during this time, had made comments, rude slash inappropriate, about him. She usually apologized, but my mom's patience is basically dead. Many conversations were had about it. Okay, so everyone's at their wits' end. You know, everyone's tired, emotionally drained. They don't want to have to deal with this, but it's family and you kind of always have to deal with family. Not really. That's not true. You don't always have to deal with family, but like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. A big blow up happened at Christmas. My goodness. It's always the holidays. Sarah made a comment about how he looked and how all the tubes around him reminded her of a hamster. Oh my God. That's not funny. Sarah. It wasn't appropriate. Yes, we all know how he looks like crap, but he's dying. My mom told her to get out of the house. She apologized, but my mom told her she never changes her behavior and her apology means shit to her. Big argument later, and that relationship between them is shaky. Okay. It happens. It happens in families, especially with in-laws. There's a vibe. It's a thing. My dad passed this week and the funeral is this weekend. My mom is a wreck and I called up my brother. I told him it was a horrible idea to bring his wife to the funeral. Well, that's maybe you're going on a little strong there. This is the person that he married. If she makes an inappropriate comment at the funeral, it would destroy a lot of the relationship, and I think Mom would lose her shit. I also explained that even with your help before, it hasn't stopped her from making comments. Everyone is going to be high emotions, and it would be a very bad situation. Also, she wasn't respectful when he was alive. This started an argument, and he's calling me a jerk. Am I the asshole for giving him that advice? That wasn't advice. You told him it was a horrible idea. So you could have gone into that conversation a little differently. Let's just dive into what other people say, okay? Top response, not the asshole. As someone on the spectrum, I can understand. Oh, they're on the spectrum as well. But remember, that spectrum is huge. That's a big spectrum. We're going all sorts of directions on that baby. As someone on the spectrum, I can understand her behavior initially, but when you are repeatedly told, you should be able to learn. I mess up socially and say stupid things, but when someone says something, I realize, oh, do not say anything on that topic unless it's genuine and serious or you asked. She could have been quiet if she could not control herself. She could have been quiet if she could not control herself. Oh, with saying things. Okay. That would have shown empathy. When I don't know what to say and know someone doesn't like when I do, I just sit quietly with them and try to help in any other way that I'm asked. I think, too, many have just excused her. It's okay to have the excuse for the first time, maybe even the second. But after that, no, she's just not trying. She's a major asshole for it. You're not the asshole. And then people went in on this person saying, like, you, like, they're sticking up for her. And she was saying, listen, with my diagnosis, I do mess up, but it's not an excuse to hurt someone. So I'm never going to use my diagnosis as an excuse when I hurt a human being, which is valid. Someone said, second this, also autistic here, definitely have been in situations where I've accidentally said inappropriate things, but it sounds like Sarah and your brother are using her autism as an excuse for actually shitty behavior. Yes, I sometimes need to slowly explain why what I said was rude. Oh, I need it slowly explained why I said it was rude, but once it's explained, I don't do it again. Sounds like Sarah is an attention seeker. This is a big... I don't feel like I have the right to speak on this because I don't quite know how someone with autism, how their brains go. Like, I just don't. And especially where on the spectrum she is, I don't know if those impulses can be controlled. I don't know much about it. There's a lot of people with autism chiming in here saying, like, it's not an excuse for her being an asshole. Someone says, my autism, I have to force to work harder to understand empathy for others and appropriateness. Someone said, I'm an autistic person. If you can't control your mouth, don't go to sensitive things like funerals. Yeah, I get that. Someone's saying there's a difference between autism and assholes. But sometimes they can be both. The internet saying he's not an asshole, I think you could have maybe gone about the quote-unquote advice with your brother, the conversation with your brother a little bit better. There's always room for improvement when we're communicating our feelings and our emotions. I understand it's a sensitive time for everyone thing. Your father just died. For everyone. Your father just died. But maybe like, hey, I know this might start a fight, but I just felt that maybe we should talk about like your wife attending the funeral. I'm scared it might hurt Mom. Like maybe this should just be about family and not bring in like, you know, like I'd have to talk about it with my therapist. But just being like, it would be a horrible idea to bring your wife. I feel like that's a little intense. And then there's another one here that says, not the asshole. The problem is not that she has these thoughts, but as an adult, that she doesn't stop herself from saying them and hurting people. Does your sister-in-law work? Does she manage to not tell her boss they look tired or a customer they're annoying? Can she go out to eat without insulting the restaurant or judging a waiter to their face? I get that your brother accepts her lack of social awareness, but the rest of the world doesn't have to. I'm sure she wants to be at the funeral to comfort her husband, but even her presence will bring anxiety to your mom, who is likely bracing for the next rude comment. Maybe this is the big fat wake up that she's not welcome in places with the family when she can't moderate her opinions. Most of us learn this by age 10. Sister-in-law needs to learn it now. Most people are just saying not the asshole. All right. I agree. Obviously, I just think you could have gone about the conversation a little bit nicer. People respond better when you approach them not very aggressively. So I've learned. All right, before we move on, let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor, sponsor! Ooh, I like this one. Well, let's see how long it is first, because your girl's voice is going. Oh, no, this is fine. Am I the asshole for making my mom pay rent? Ooh, I don't know. Depends on your relationship. I would never make my mother pay rent. I am also very financially stable. And so if my mom needed to move in with me, I wouldn't feel the need to charge her. I would love to take care of my mother. Oh my God, would I love to take care of my mother. You know what? I realize I need to change batteries at that sponsor. So I'm going to change batteries real quick. You're not even going to notice. Ready? You didn't even notice. You didn't even notice. All right. Anyway, I wouldn't make my mom pay rent, but there are a lot of people out there who are financially struggling who their moms are takers and are greedy. And that's a sad fact, because just because someone's an adult doesn't make them smart or a good person. All right. Let's get into this though. Let's see if he's or she is valid or not. It's a female. Ooh, I love a woman's perspective. Here we go. I, a 46-year-old female, am the youngest of 5 children. I was a senior in high school by the time all of my siblings had moved out. I turned 18 right before my second semester of school year and right... I am so sorry. I had to burp. I apologize. That just came right out. And then I had to make it funny sounding. Sorry. I turned 18 right before my second semester of the school year and right after my birthday, my parents told me they expected to pay for my own rent and utilities. You were still in high school? But they said you're 18, so you have to pay. All right. You're in high school. I don't think maybe the second you graduated high school. Sure. Your parents said, welcome to the real world. But no, I was confused because they had not done this to my siblings. Oh, that's fucked. That's messed up. I asked them to reconsider as I was saving for college and about to move out. They had already told me that they would not be helping with my tuition despite helping their other 4 children. Okay, what is happening here? Why the favoritism? Why the drastic favoritism? Why? Usually, I'm confused. Usually it's the baby that the parents are like, whatever, I give up. Why are they being so hard on you? I'm so sorry. Clearly, you've grown up from this, but like, the fuck. However, my parents would not budge and told me if I refused, I was going to have to find somewhere else to live. I continued to live with them, paying off my expenses. With the money I gave them, they treated themselves out to dinner almost every night. They also occasionally took little vacations without me and left me home alone for days on end. I bought my own groceries and cooked myself dinner until I graduated. And over the summer, I moved into my dorm that fall. You poor thing. I'm so sorry. That's so messed up. Your parents don't sound like the most loving. My dad passed away a couple years ago, and now my mom feels that the house is too big and lonely to be comfortable. She asked my siblings if she can move in with them and their kids, and every single one of them refused, as they had no space. Sounds like you weren't a very loving mom, because the kids don't want you. That was mean, I'm sorry. My house has a guest room, so after the previous room relations rejections, she called and asked me for my extra room. You are literally at the bottom of her list, aren't you? God damn. So I told her she would have to pay rent and utilities. Ho-ho! Boom, gotcha. Over the phone, she blew up and yelled at me, calling me ungrateful and petty. She apparently also told my other siblings about this argument, and now they are contacting me saying I should leave the past behind us and be kind to our elderly mother. The eldest, my sister, also called me petty and immature. In my opinion, they don't understand how I was treated in high school and how it felt to have everyone in my family leave me behind. Though I feel I could have been kinder to my mom, I still feel hurt about how they abandoned me financially in high school and emotionally throughout most of my adult life. Yeah, it doesn't sound like you got a great relationship with your parents. You were the last on the list, and now your mom just expects things from you. It sounds like she just expects her children to take care of her, regardless of how she treated them throughout their entire life. I'm going to say, you're not the asshole. listen, family matters a lot, but that doesn't mean that they're allowed to walk all over you, right? You put up boundaries, and it is different with each person, but like, you can't go that drastic with each of your children. Well, let's see, people. Sounds like, quote unquote, mature older sis is offering her house to your mother then? You should take back your offer to house her. Do not house her. She's going to be a nightmare to live with. And any sibling calling you to chastise you should offer to take in your mom. Otherwise, they should shut the fuck up. Your siblings' opinions are just noise in this situation. Ignore them all. Your mother should sell her big house and buy a smaller one, preferably in the same community or ones with lots of retirees. That way, the smaller house is easier to manage and she has a community around her to minimize loneliness. Not the asshole. Mom and sibs are the asshole here. Someone said, absolutely this. Absolutely this. No amount of quote unquote rent paid would be worth living with a mother who treats you like this. Yeah, she should move into a tiny home in a retirement center. Like, that just makes sense. Sell the house, do that. Right? I mean, that is what most people do. Not in like in an old folks home where they like change your diaper, but like a community. It's a community. You have your own house and you do your own things and you come and go as you please, but the people around you are also retired and want to hang out. People are saying, don't let her move in. She wants a maid, a cook, and a punching bag. A lot of people are just saying, not the asshole. I would do the same thing in your particular situation. I had a similar experience, only I was the oldest. I saw my 5 younger siblings get away with everything and get everything they ever asked for / needed while I struggled and a lot and got zero help. I like how your siblings all turned her down. Not lost on me that you were her last resort, by the way, but expected you to take on the burden. If they feel so bad about it, they can make some room for her. No? Yeah. Like I said, like I'm used to like that parents getting easier on the younger kids. Cause like, and like kind of spoiling the younger ones. Cause they're like, oh no, all my kids are leaving. I only have like this one last one to take care of. Me. And so the younger one, I feel, usually gets away with things more and spoiled more. And like the older ones, they're more strict and hard on, and then they just kind of give up. So they did reverse. I'm sorry. That sucks. Yeah, everyone's saying, tell her she can't live with you. Not the asshole. Fair is fair. I bet your mother will sell your childhood home and profit handsomely. My bet is your mom will lord over you like she did in high school. Say absolutely no. Yeah, everyone's saying that's a no-go, and I agree with him. So there's that. All right, I think we have time for one more here. I hope the people that hate these aren't listening to them anymore, and I hope people are still enjoying this. Am I the asshole for refusing to make breakfast for my partner? That depends on the situation. I mean, there's compromise in anything, but let's find out. My partner and I live together with our 2 young kids. We both work 9-to-5s, teleworking from home. Cute. Love that. Ah, what a modern day relationship. Every weekday, I wake up an hour before everyone else to pack their lunches, make coffee, prepare medications, and prep breakfast for the morning for me and the kids. I used to prep breakfast for my partner too. More on that in a minute. I then get my kids up, fed and clothed, and then ready for the day and take them to school. I come home, take care of our myriad of animals before I start work on my laptop. Somewhere in there, I might eat a piece of toast and drink tea in a travel mug to save time. My partner rarely wakes up before I'm almost out the door with the kids, often not until I start work. When they do get up, my significant other makes it a point to ask me to make them breakfast. Nope. No. That's a hard no. Mind you, this person is truly, specifically trying so hard not to use sexes or genders. Like there is no her, him, female, male in this. So there's, I appreciate that because we're not going to get any bullshit misogyny or sexism or reverse, whatever that is. There is no reverse sexism. There's also no reverse racism, but I appreciate that. I'm going to say fucking asshole. You're getting up, feeding and dressing and preparing all of your children, then taking them to school and then taking care of all your animals. And then a little bit of yourself, thank God you ate that piece of toast, and then going to work the same amount as your partner. And your partner wakes up, sleeps in, wakes up, and then asks you to do something for them? fuck off. Nope. No. Whew, that's a no. A little backstory. I used to prep my significant other's breakfast like I do the kids in the morning, but since my significant other wasn't getting up until later, they would get mad at me for giving them cold food. They liked a toasted bagel with cold cuts. Not a chance. Leave them. Leave them. That's all the information I need. Goddamn, leave them. If Abby made food and I slept in and when I woke up, that food was cold, you think I would get mad at her? I would be so goddamn grateful. I'd heat the fucking food up myself and be like, thank you for making me this. And if I wanted it warm, I would wake up earlier so I could have it warm. God damn it. Oh no, I hate this next sentence. Then I would make my significant other food when they woke up, which generally meant stopping whatever I was doing at work to tend to them and what they needed. No. God, oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm so fucking angry. Then I got fed up of feeling flustered at work and a bit resentful after having to take care of all of the morning responsibilities myself when they were supposed to be there. This wasn't even an agreed upon thing. It wasn't like, babe, you get the mornings and then I'll handle the afternoons. You take them to school, I'll bring them home and deal with the afternoon snack. They were supposed to be there? Ooh, I'm pissing. I told my partner that my work time is my work time, even if I'm at home, to treat it as if I'm in the office. If they want breakfast made, they have to wake up with everyone else and eat with us. Solid boundary. That is a solid boundary. And that shouldn't even be a boundary. That's just human decency and logicalness. Oh, I'm fucking pissed. My significant other told me it's my job to make breakfast. Oh, no. It's no one's job to make breakfast. You are responsible for feeding yourself. And if your significant other is oh so goddamn nice to make you some food, that is a blessing. That is not their job or their responsibility. And if anyone tells you anything different, leave them immediately. No. No. Mm. My significant other told me it's my job to make breakfast, and I am choosing not to do my job by feeding them. That it's my fault for not waking them up because I know how hard it is for them to wake up on their own. No, they are not your parent. They are not your mommy or daddy. If you have a hard time waking up, you figure out how to wake up. You set different alarms, change your ringtone, get a flashing light for all I care. It is not your partner's responsibility to get you out of bed. They are not your parent, you goddamn baby. I told my I'm getting pissed. This person is so toxic. Leave them. Man or woman, they, them, I don't care. Leave them. I told my significant other that they are a grown up just like me and should be responsible for finding something that works for them to get themselves up on time and do their morning responsibilities and have breakfast with the family. I did not want to be their alarm clock. Oh, you fucking tell them. My partner notes that I wake the kids up for breakfast so I can wake them up too. I said they are dependents and my partner is not. Your partner wants you to be their parent. And that is not what we do. We are parents to our children. We are not parents to anybody else. Given we both work at home, this is a frequent issue between us. Am I being too harsh? Can you help me figure out if I am the asshole? Ooh. Oh! Edit. In response to comments, my partner believes it is my responsibility to make breakfast, as that is one of my assigned chores. I do all the meals, meal prep, groceries, among other chores, other than breakfast on Sundays. What the fuck does your significant other do? Can you tell me that? Take out the trash? God damn it. My significant other's understanding is that I make sure everyone eats breakfast. My understanding is that I make breakfast for those available at breakfast time. My significant other has their own chores, laundry, grass mowing, cleaning. Okay, we know who the man and the woman is. We figured it out. I appreciate the lack of pronouns, but we fucking figured it out. No. Sorry. Not a chance. If you're in charge of dinner and your significant other gets home at 1 a.m. and pokes you and it's like, hey, I haven't eaten. Can you go make me my dinner? It's your responsibility. Nope. No. You're not a restaurant. People can't come and go as they want. No, they can't decide when they're going to eat. You're in charge of making the breakfast. You make the breakfast. They don't get a menu and just come and go as they want. You have a set time slot and a set menu. And that is so nice of you to feed everyone. Oh, goodness. No. Started dating an adult that can pour some cereal into a bowl with milk or something. Your significant other sounds needy and entitled. They don't want to get up on a timely fashion to eat with everyone else. When breakfast is fresh, hot, and in on the table, they don't want cold food. They don't want to make their own breakfast. They want you to put everything on pause to make them breakfast. I rolled my eyes and understand your position. You don't have to, quote unquote, tend to an adult at their command, not the asshole. I am genuinely embarrassed for grown adults with kids who need their partner to leave work and fix them a bagel sandwich. Like my 10-year-old nephew can make himself a bagel sandwich. It's not a complicated task that only a skilled master can accomplish. Everyone's saying not the asshole. Someone, you don't have two kids, you have three. But just because your significant other acts like one doesn't mean they get all the perks. When your significant other shows up for on time for breakfast, put another bagel in the toaster. Otherwise, stay the course. Oh my God. The fact that they don't help with the kids in the morning is so dumb. So dumb. Also, I don't get why people need chore lists as adults. I get why kids need them. So you can put a little star next to their name when they did something good. But as if adults, no, there's no, Abby and I don't have a chore list. We have things that we both normally are the ones doing. She usually does the laundry. I usually do the dishes in the morning. We both take out the trash. I'm in charge. I'm not in charge, but I usually pick up the boys' dog poop because those are my dogs. There's things that we usually do, but we don't expect it of the other person. So when the person that usually does the task doesn't do it, if she doesn't do the laundry and I need something cleaned, I fucking do the laundry myself. It's not her chore. It's one that she usually does just because that's the one she enjoys the most. And she's usually putting around the house and is inside the house and can kind of just change the laundry whenever. And I'm out here in the garage and I forget. I'm out of sight, out of mind. So if I don't see that washer and dryer, I'm not remembering the clothes are in there. But the chores are just both of ours. I'm usually the one that vacuums because I actually like it. I like vacuuming. She makes the bed every morning because she's the last one to get out of it. And if I get out of the bed last, I'll make the bed. If you and your partner have to delegate chores that hard, it's clear that it's because you have to or your partner won't do anything. When are people going to learn to be an adult and to date adults? Don't date children. I totally understand wanting to take care of people and wanting to help as much as you can, but it should be because you want to and not because they expect it from you. Oh, that one got me angry. Oh, I'm pissing. Absolutely pissing. That is, stop it. I appreciated they use no pronouns. I appreciated that. All right. That's it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please let me know what you want from Rachel Uncensored. It's like the solo ones. No more myth busting. I know people get bored of Am I the Assholes. What should we do? Let's reformat this baby. This is for us. This is for you and me. And someone said, how can it be a solo episode when I'm right here with you? I see you. I fucking see you. This isn't a solo episode. This is with you. So what do you want? What do you want? Let's talk about it. But that's it. Thank you to our sponsors for today. Thank you for listening. I love you guys so much. I hope I was entertaining to some extent. If not, I apologize. But this is pretty much my stuff. So there it is. I love you all, and I'll see you next time with, I'm pretty sure, Miss Abigail. But don't hold me to it. I love you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Rachel Uncensored, the only place on the internet where you can find the uncensored version of me, Rachel Ballinger. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please like, subscribe, or follow, or do whatever this platform tells you to do so that you can get notified every time I post a new episode. Love ya!
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.